Our text, which we will be considering this morning, comes to us from John's first epistle, chapter 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope you're all paying attention because I'm about to give you some very practical workplace advice. Many of you are already in the workforce in supermarkets or restaurants, and if you aren't yet, you almost certainly will be in a few years. And I guarantee you that you will get put into difficult situations with dissatisfied customers. It's unfortunate that it happens, and it's unfortunate that many times their dissatisfaction really has nothing to do with you. The store you work at will be out of stock. Some order from McDonald's will not have their French fries. Now, you may not be in charge of stocking the items, and you might have had nothing to do with putting that person's order together, but now you're the face of that person's problem, and for whatever reason, they are livid. What do you do? Well, many people will try and solve the problem on their own. But again, if you're out of stock, you're out of stock. If the customer didn't get their French fries the first time around, just giving it to them now probably isn't going to make them feel any better. Five words. Five little words will almost always get you out of these tricky situations. Let me get my manager. Let me get my manager. That's it. Ultimately, it's the manager's job to ensure that the customer is having a quality experience, and they are the ones who are ultimately in a position of authority and have the authority to pull strings to do something about it and rectify the situation so that customers leave happy. We call that kicking it up the chain. Send the problem up the chain of command to someone who can do something about it. Now, here in John's first epistle, he is writing to a people that have become increasingly unsure about their salvation. The false teaching of Gnosticism was a huge problem for many Christians who were being persuaded that by false teachers like Cerinthus that a higher level of knowledge and spiritual living was required to be saved. As is always the case, the confidence in eternal salvation decreases in proportion with waning attention on Christ and his redemptive work. As our focus on the cross shifts away to focus the spotlight on ourselves, we find that we are either in a state of misplaced pride or unnecessary despair. False pride in thinking that God is pleased with us on account of our works. Unnecessary despair in recognizing properly that we are unable to do anything good, but mistakenly thinking that we have nowhere to go with that. Well, John here is speaking to the latter group, the despairing ones. What do you do? What do you do when Satan comes to you and tells you that God is displeased with your service? What do you do when your heart and the people around you and the world around you tells you that you are not enough, that you don't meet God's standards? Don't try and fix the problem yourself. You can't. Kick it up the chain. The word greater in our text this morning in the Greek is called a comparative adjective. Now, I know chapel is usually a nice little break from our traditional academic exercises, but hang with me here. You have the regular adjective, for example, big. You have the comparative adjective, bigger, and you have the superlative adjective, big-est. Strong, stronger, strongest, smart, smarter, smartest. Adjective, comparative, superlative. When you kick it up the chain, your problem that is, you take your problem to someone who can handle it. You're looking for someone in the comparative category, someone comparatively better, smarter, stronger, a manager, a parent, a teacher, or a coach perhaps, but these people can't solve your problem of sin either. So you kick it up further. But the problem that we run into is that everyone answers to someone. You can kick that problem up to the apparent top of the chain. You can take it to the president. You can take it to Jeff Bezos. You can take it to the Pope. But these guys are only comparatives as well. They at least appear to be more powerful, more rich, more righteous than the average person, but they aren't the top. Even they answer to someone. No, for the problem of sin, you will need the superlative, the best, the strongest, the most powerful, the most authoritative. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God, the Father of all, is above all. At the very tippy top of every chain of command is God. Does the chain always obey God's command? No. But that doesn't change where the authority lies. That doesn't affect God's status as the superlative in all things, the best. You can line up God with any other figure, any other problem, absolutely everything. God is comparatively better. He is the one who is above all. When you compare God to your problems, he is better. He is more powerful. He is smarter, more loving, more patient, and wiser. When you match up God against our hearts, of course we can say with John that God is greater. In a world that puts so much premium on the feelings of the heart and on how we think and how the world affects us and our experiences, we are in constant danger of placing too much stock in a thing that changes so quickly and for such foolish reasons. The heart that one day rests on the prideful laurels of good deeds and flattery is the next day sunk in the mud of despair and shame over our sin. But God is greater and has forgiven us all our sins. In Christ, we see God's power over sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15 says that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But Jesus kept the law for us and has asserted his power over all. Over sin, in keeping God's law and sacrificing his perfect life to pay for all of our sin. Over death, in rising from the tomb that Easter morning. Over our pride, in breaking down our calcified, unrepentant hearts with his law, and over our despair, in showing us his hand and his side, where the blood flowed out and over us, making us clean and blameless before God. So as the verse that follows our text this morning, John 3:20 and 21 says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." And our hearts cannot now condemn us when we remember the superlative power and love of our Lord. Because just as we've been singing in choir this year as well as last year, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Amen. We sing this morning hymn 373, verses 1 and 3. 373, 1 and 3.